You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Part of the program that I love, Mike Musselman, coming on to talk Yankee baseball. That's right.
No, we're not.
What?
No, we're not. No, we're not. No.
Okay. All right. All right. Just acknowledge who's got the best record in baseball right now. Thank you.
Who's got the best record?
Yep. In baseball right now.
Like I said, Mac, you better hope to God they win the World Series. Because if they start to fall and they falter and they'll flip, which they will do, I'm going to be right there to kick the dirt in your face.
Oh, you don't think you would have been there anyway? Yeah. Oh, so since you were going to be there anyway.
No, but this time I'm going to enjoy it. The other times I don't really enjoy it. I just do it because you need to be taking down a couple rungs or two every once in a while.
I didn't really enjoy it. I just felt I had to do it.
Right. There's a difference.
Holy smokes. Listen to this. Tell me what you think.
So let me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me get something off my chest real quick.
Oh, my God. All right.
So everybody knows, you call me yesterday, and before I can say, hey, in the truck I got Ralph and David, you come up on this tyrant and just start dropping the F-bomb everywhere, and then as soon as there's a break, I go, hey, Mike, this is what I said. Hey, Mike, there's Dave and Ralph in the truck with me. Who'd you just call me? My name's Mac. I'm like, okay, sorry, Mac. And then you got for another time. Then you tell me, man, what kind of friend are you? You don't even tell me that there's people in the car. And I'm like, oh, my God. Before I could even, you call, and the first words out of your mouth were like, you son of a bitch. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Are you playing the victim card right now? Are you playing?
Yeah, I am. Yesterday, you made me the victim.
You were the victim yesterday. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. I thought they grew them a little bit tougher. I thought they grew them a little bit tougher down in Texas.
They do. No, I'm tough about it, but I just wanted to clarify.
Because you
get my side of the story.
Okay. Because you sound like kind of a baby about it.
See, there we go again.
What?
See? gotta be throwing stuff like that out there.
You're a baby? Like any other fourth grader or 2-year-old would say, you're a baby.
No. Uh-huh. I just wanted to clarify so we were clear that, you know what? That wasn't my fault. When now all of a sudden the guilt, like you're feeling guilt, that's what you do. And then you lash out with, what are you, a baby? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
You're feeling guilt, and you're like, in your body, you're like, man, what's that weird feeling I got right now that I feel like maybe I'm at fault here?
Yeah, again.
So I'm going to lash out, and I'm going to say,
again,
you big baby.
You big baby.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else you want to get off your chest as long as we're having a therapy session?
Yeah, like you said. Man, I'm getting, quit bombarding me and Rob with all this Yankee crap on the damn text messages, too.
Oh, and now you're going to speak for Rob, too? Montana man?
Yeah, because we both don't agree with it. We both don't appreciate it.
Well, when your team gets swept, normally a statement relative to concession is in order, yes? That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. I didn't make up those rules, but you have to be responsible for your team. And when you get swept, then come on, that is what it is. So anyway.
Okay. So yeah, that happens every. It happened to the Yankees. You know, happened again to the Red Sox. It won't happen again to the Yankees. But I don't. When was the last time I ever called you and rubbed it in that the Red Sox had beaten the Yankees?
Well, they haven't beat him lately, so it would have been a while. I don't know.
I don't think I ever have.
Oh, don't throw the ever word out there. Mr. Boston. Okay.
I don't think I can't recall the last time.
Thank you. All right. I'll accept that. I'll accept that because I'm a fair person.
Well,
I'm a fair person.
Who's listening? Why are you saying this? Who's listening? That's important.
Nobody. Nobody, but I think, I try to be fair, and it is what it is. Hey, I've got a leadership question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
I'm
at the dry cleaners, by the way, so if you hear me talk, then...
Then shut up. You're getting your cleaning. You don't need to talk at the dry cleaners. Maybe just say thank you very much.
Yeah, right.
I've had this concept in my head, kind of... crystallized over the weekend, talking about talking about leadership to the point of confrontation. And to me it's where we fail a lot in the Marine Corps.
Ask me that again.
It's a concept that I have.
Paraphrase it.
Leadership to the point of conflict or confrontation.
Leadership to the point.
And let me give you a few examples, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious to get your thoughts on it. The urinating on the bodies thing, right? That was done with at least one officer present and a number of staff non-commissioned officer present, right? Everything at Paris Island has been done with the presence of other either sergeants or staff sergeants. And I don't know if gunnies were involved or not, but I will say every one of the incidents that we read about, from somebody lying in bleach and having to get skin grafts to all the other craziness, calling a recruit a terrorist and then putting him in a dryer, which I think is kind of harmless, unless you do it in a punitive way. Most of the time it's pretty funny. But clearly you're not supposed to. And then the physical abuse. Two 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines in 2006, the incident in Hamdiya, right, where an entire squad of Marines a corporal, when asked, hey, why didn't you knew this was wrong, why didn't you do something? And he said, I did. I said, I'm not doing that. And Sergeant X looked at me and said, what are you, a fucking pussy? And he said, I fought with these guys in Fallujah. I couldn't turn my back on them. I would dare say, probably for some people, the Marines United thing, who went into that hard drive and saw what was in there. And in my opinion, the weaponization of images to include personal information, contact information and stuff like that. We're okay or good at leadership up until that point of confrontation when somebody looks at you and says, you say, hey, man, you can't do that on those bodies. Hey, fuck you, gunner. Shut up. Get out of here then. Right? Until, you know what I'm saying? At that point.
Yeah, but see, you're confusing.
At that point of confrontation.
You're confusing the word leadership here.
Okay. Give me a better word.
Well, no. Those aren't leaders. Leadership was void. There was none. The number one thing that required, Mac, I had a talk with a bunch of Marines last week. And they were mostly like the leaders, the group of RS Dallas, right?
Right.
A group of guys. And we talked about leadership. And I told them, I said, hey, I'm going to give you a real quick crash course on leadership. Too many things we have focused on in the Marine Corps has been about leadership. What I've found was there's not a lot of people in the Marine Corps that knows and understands leadership. And it's true meaning that we use all of these principles or leadership principles, leadership traits, all of these words. And there's people, you can read a book and there's 33 leadership traits. There's 22 leadership principles. There's 7 fundamental leadership traits. And what I've started, like I said, what I've really realized was the fact that me, you, and I have talked about this. The number one most important thing to all leaders, and if it's void, you're not a leader, it's discipline. If you lack discipline, you can't use the word leadership. All of the other traits mean nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Seek yourself and, you know yourself and seek self-improvement. How can you do that with no discipline? No self-discipline. So, if you apply it to every single one of them, and you bring up this, the urinating on corpse in Iraq. There was no leaders present. There may have been a lieutenant and a staff sergeant or a sergeant. That doesn't make them a leader. Just by virtue of pinning stripes on your shoulder or passing a board or doing something like that or graduating from college and being accepted into, TBS, doesn't make you a leader. And there are many, many leaders that walk among people in uniform that are classified as leaders that are not leaders. There are leaders that we think that are leaders that wear stars on their collar that work in Washington, D.C. that are not leaders. There are politicians that are not leaders. We've had presidents that aren't leaders because they lack the discipline. So to categorize, it's a simple question of there was no leadership. There was no leadership in the Marine United Tech. There was no leadership in 3-5 in Hamidiya. You had a sergeant there. He wasn't a leader. He was just a person, a placeholder.
All right.
The people lacked the discipline to do what was right.
Okay. All right. Do you think that with more focus to that specific instance where you're tested morally and somebody looks at you in a confrontational way and says, hey, shut up and get out of here. I'll do what I want. Do you think that we can train to that or simply if you're not up to it, you're not up to it?
Okay, so, we've said before that there's something wrong right now. And, and I hear this before, boot camp. Well, that's where I learned leadership. What? What boot camp did you go through? The last thing that boot camp teaches you is leadership. That stuff's crazy to me. So where do we teach, where do we teach leadership? And you've heard me say this. There's one school. And that was IOC and TBS, where their officers at. But it doesn't, just because you teach it too, doesn't mean it's going to take
right.
hold.
Right.
It's got to take hold. So you got to make sure that what you're actually planting is fertile. It's going to grow. Meaning the person that you're going to work with, there's a potential that it's going to grow within him. Well, how do you find that fertile marine that leadership can actually sprout and take growth in? And then who's planting the damn seed? That's the most important thing. Who's the guy that's actually doing the work to plant that seed so you're making a good leader?
Maybe you and I both know this to be true. Maybe another non-leader, right?
And that's sometimes the case, you're right. I learned a lot about leadership through a bad leader. I learned probably a lot more on how to be a good leader through bad leadership. Or the lack of. But when you put people together, so you look back at your career, Matt, and you look at, Chris Bronzy. He's a great leader. He inspires people. His presence is inspiring. He's intelligent. He doesn't get emotional. He's a very non-biased person. He's just a good person.
Right.
But I would beg to say that Chris was that way when he was 14. So most people have been nurtured that, and then someone took hold of Chris in his career when he was a young lieutenant that, again, we'll use the analogy of the fertile soil. He's ready to be, you know, for someone to plant that seed of sound leadership, discipline into him, and someone did it. And they did it right into the right person at the right time.
Yeah, but Mike,
it doesn't always happen that way.
I think that your point is, you know, we put rank insignia on people and they
all the time.
Right.
Yep.
And they are lumped under the broad heading of leaders, but they've never been leaders in their life. And then you meet guys like, you know, Chris Bronzy, like Dave Furness, when throughout their whole lives, right? They've been either officers in their class. They've been captains on sports teams. They've been the head guy in their little crew of guys when they hung out. They've always been leaders. And so interesting. Interesting. No, it just seems like, you know, when you look at these different situations, there wasn't other staff NCOs, NCOs or officers around. They just shrank when somebody told them to get the hell out of there. And Mike, the saddest part, Mike, is, you know, kind of like I've used this though analogy, but kind of like Mothers Against Drunk Driving. There was a time when you wouldn't have picked up somebody's car keys off a bar. You wouldn't have intervened like that. But now what you do is like, I'm helping them. Just look at a couple of these cases where if somebody would have said, this ain't happening here. And somebody said, oh, really?
It's a circle of stupidity.
Right? And you know how much brig time how many careers that would not have been ended? How much trauma would not be injected? How many dishonorable discharges not be handed out because somebody stood up and said no? And if you want to fight, let's go. You know, I'll fight.
The circle of stupidity. It takes more than one thing to happen before it can act. Usually, it's multiple things. And like you said, if someone could step in and see that and then, oh, you know, no, you ain't doing that, and you remove that one thing, the circle doesn't complete. The stupid act does not take place. And you prevent it. Now you may never know. Again, only the law of your failures are known. Your successes are never known.
Right.
As a leader. As a leader, you will never know your true successes. Only your failures will be shown to you. But you'll never know what you have actually accomplished as a leader. So, go ahead.
So you don't think that specific education about leadership at the point of conflict makes a difference? Because if that guy had it, if that girl had it, they would have done it anyway. So we can talk ourselves blue in the face about it and make them aware of it, but it's not going to change their behavior because they know what to do. They know what to do now. They just won't do it.
Marines are conditioned, not just Marines. People are conditioned to think that success of a leadership is shown because you got promoted.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. No. You're breathing and you're standing. That's why you got promoted. We used to make a joke, fog the mirror. You made it. Critical, when you start getting into critical positions, like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure about this right now, but total. 06 Colonel was a very prestigious position to get to. You got to that, you meant something. But you've done something. I don't know, if you look at the percentages of people that make it through, you know, all the way through, you know, it's just the funnel gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
But Mike, in fact, it's funny, when you were saying that, I had the exact same thought. On the officer side, Colonel 06 is the first rank that I think is truly competitive. Everything up to that point is you not stepping in it. If you don't step in
it, you're breathing and don't step in the shit, take it in the house.
You're going to get promoted to lieutenant colonel. No doubt. Right?
But see, the lieutenant ranks are just stay fucking alive and stay long enough, you'll make it all the way.
Wow.
Wow. Because just by virtue of sanctuary, you know, once you get 18, 16, 18 years in, you basically sanctuary. We can't touch it. And And you know, Matt, you and I have this conversation a long time ago.
Hold on. You keep moving your phone, and sometimes you're clear, and then sometimes it sounds like it's stuffed up against your face. So get it to someplace where I can hear it.
Hang on.
Okay, can you hear me better?
Yeah, it's awesome. Go.
Okay, so the one thing I did never, and there's not an excuse, that I would never do, I never went to a retirement ceremony of a staff sergeant at the 20 years in the Marine Corps.
Of a staff sergeant? Why?
Who served 20 years in the Marine Corps.
Why?
Because, I mean, when you look at all the things you just had to do to make to get promoted to E7, you know, to make it a penny, and you chose not to. You didn't go to your proper schools. You didn't do your check in the blind. I mean, it's so easy. And you chose path of least resistance. Now, I'm not talking about guys that are listening, like, in World War II or like that, or Korea. Hey, I got it. We're talking about more modern timeline here. As you know, all that is, I've been to meeting guys all over the place. It's not as competitive as it used to be. And clearly not when we expanded the size of the Marine Corps. Man, when those things went through, you had guys that are gunning for 10 years in the Marine Corps. They didn't even know what it's like to be a Marine yet. So, and then the schools or the institutions, we were pumping out what we wanted as leaders. We'd throw the name out there, combat leadership. You know, MCMAT trainees got to have combat leadership in it. All this other stuff's got to have leadership. This X amount of leadership's got to be taught in this class to be qualified through a, you know, training education command. And those, it was nonsense.
All right, let me read you an email. Listening to you guys reminds me of leadership discussions I used to have during my time, which was during Vietnam. Honestly, I didn't think there was a whole lot difference between being a responsible leader in garrison and what I did in combat. I was making decisions. I was taking care of people. I was doing the best I could do tactically, given what was in front of me. I did that every day. My job didn't change a whole lot from garrison to the field. I was a leader. I looked at myself like that. I didn't take shit from anybody. I tried to do the right thing. As a result, I think I can sleep easy at night because of that. I don't think it does change. I just heard the gunner use the word discipline, a word that you and he, and it seems like most of your guests, are extremely fond of. Although I question whether the Marine Corps still embraces it. Your discussion today about rank on non-leaders has been a plague in the Marine Corps forever. I don't know that there's a cure for it as long as there is the up or out philosophy. Enjoy the program. Good to hear Gunner back. Have a good one, boys. You know, Mike, you and I have talked about that. You know, what you do in garrison translates exactly what you do in the field, translates exactly what you do in combat. And you know what? I got a
request. And what you do as a civilian.
Well, you're either made that way or you're not. I got an email from a friend of ours, Tim Lynch, said, hey, man, I heard that you threw out a number, something like, the last 20 of the last 30 guys that were killed during your deployment were your fault. And I said, the number is 19 of 31. And yes,
yeah,
we would, I think if you talk to Mike or I, we would both tell you that it's us not doing the things we were supposed to do. And that is simply, that's discipline. And there's a million reasons to deviate from it. None of them is good enough to get you killed. And but it is that. If you don't do it in garrison, you're not going to do it when you go forward. And then if you do get into a shooting event, you are not going to be what you should be because you haven't required it from the get-go. And I think it's that simple, and that's what we talk about. And you know what? One of the things...
It doesn't come to you like everybody thinks it does. Like, you know, I'm going to put that up to the back burner, because when the shit happens, man, I'll be right there. It doesn't work that way, guys.
Right.
That's in TV and the movies.
You know, Mike, and one of the things that this, I got into a discussion over the weekend about it, and I quoted you. I said, let me give you a sad comment. We were talking about discipline one day, and I said Mike Musselman was on with me, and he used to go do battlefield circulation. And I asked him, when you pulled in and met a unit, and you got out and you were amongst them, how long would it take you to find out, you know? And your answer was, God, 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5 at the most. The way they dress, the way they, you know, how clean the place is, the way their weapons look, the way they greet you, the way they treat each other. All indicators of discipline. And then I said this, and this is the part I quoted. How did that make you feel when you saw undisciplined units? And I'll never forget what you said. You said it made me sad because I knew that more of those guys would have to get either killed or wounded severely than needed to because they weren't disciplined.
Right.
And that is the voice of experience. Guy that's done it a bunch and seen it a bunch and seen it in a whole variety of units coming from a whole variety of different regiments across the Marine Corps. And the word sad is what you feel in your heart when you look and you guys, you know, Jesus's quote, you know, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Boys and girls, you don't know what you're doing here because you are going to die in greater numbers than you need to because you're not disciplined. So pretty interesting stuff. Is there a solution, Mike, in the Marine Corps, or is it simply?
Yeah, you got to identify it. You got to first step up to the plate and say, you know what? We're not good at this, but this is how we're going to get better. And then you get away from this bullshit of just the bureaucracy and the administrative, you know, we do this, it's a check in the block. It's like anything else that we do is, you know, the annual training set. It's just sick. That's not leadership. If you truly believe, if you truly gave a shit about your annual reset training and all other stuff, you'd put a lot more effort into it, not just meeting the requirement of having some cop no one can relate to stand up and tell you some statistics of how many people are going to die from DUIs over this weekend. And everybody's not listening to him anyway. They're looking at his uniform, looking at his gun, looking at his badge. And it's just, and it's like Charlie Brown's teacher packet. Wah, 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 wah. And then they got some staff sergeant and no one ever seen before works in an S shop giving you a PowerPoint class, leaving you the PowerPoint class because you're just smart enough to read it yourself. And then going over it line by line. And then when someone asks him a question of a real life experience or something like that, he comes back with something completely off the wall that has no relation. You can't relate to it in any manner. And then you've lost your whole crowd. And then they realize this guy, it doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's the guy that's picked, you know, because he's the junior guy.
Right.
You know, the best ones I've seen, the best ones, or like I said, when Dave Furness got up in front, and Dave Furness gave that speech, or Sergeant Major Zikafus got up there and he gave that speech, and they, because then they take ownership. It's their unit; they're the ones ultimately responsible. Not that staff sergeant, not that cop, but you know, the cop has no responsibilities whatsoever for the unit. He's just coming in as a subject matter expert that maybe they, you know, I'm gonna fool you and baffle you with a subject matter expert on this. No, just personalize it. Let the guys know that you care about it. And how do you show caring? Time. Spend time. Remember, we talked about this. You know, the most important thing that you can spend on somebody is time. Because it's the only thing that you can give. Can't be taken from it. You have to give it. So when you give it, it means something. You know, and that's leadership. That's what a true leader does. He spends time. Not,
you know what? I got to be in my office doing fitness reports. Well, you got it there, XO, or you got it, OPSO. No. You're the guy. Your name's on the front sign for a reason. You know, and that's what I think we get away from more and more and more. We delegate authority. We love that word, delegation. So we're going to delegate. We don't know what that word means. You know, and I asked these Marines what their definition of discipline was. And you know what most of the answers were?
What?
Willingness, obedience of orders. Where does it say that in the Webster's Dictionary?
I don't think it does. Yeah. Let me look it
up.
I'm going to look it up.
Look up the definition of discipline.
Discipline.
The definition in there.
The practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishments to correct disobedience. To a branch of knowledge typically one studied in higher education. All right. And here's Webster. Discipline, one, punishment. Two, instruction. Three, a field of study. Four, training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character.
Yeah.
Are you buying number four?
Yeah. And number two.
Instruction. Yeah. I reject, like you, certainly, it can be used in terms of punishment, but that's not what we're talking about. You know what, Mike? There would probably be a long way to improving leadership is to appropriately define what are we talking about when we talk about discipline.
Yeah.
Close your eyes and tell me what it looks like when we're talking about discipline of a unit. And you know what? To me, it's, you know, What are the requirements in combat, right? Accountability. Okay? You got to be accountable.
The best one.
Right.
Here's the best definition.
Go ahead.
Like, ready?
Yep.
It's the suppression of base desire. And it is usually understood to be synonymous restraint and control. Discipline is when one uses reason to determine the best course of action of one's desire, which may be the opposite of that's what we always talk about, the base desire. The base desire of the Marine is to be lazy, to take shortcuts. He doesn't want to go on that 27-mile hike. He doesn't see what benefit it is for him other than the pain. He doesn't want to get up early in the morning before the sun rises and shave when it's cold out. It hurts. He doesn't want to wash his camis when he can be taking a nap or clean his rifle when he can be reading a letter from his wife. They want to choose their own desires. It's your responsibility as a leader to understand that and to make sure that they know what the true desire is.
And to, quote Lieutenant Colonel Eric Smith from Ramadi in 2005, my job is to give them what they want, what they need, not what they want. When they come back from patrol, what do they want to do? they want to go lay down, take a nap, and then get on their PlayStations. What they need to do is fill sandbags and clean their weapons and get ready for tomorrow. My job is to make sure that happens, so I bring as many of these guys home as possible. It is not about what they want. It's about my job is to give them what they need.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Eric's a leader.
Yeah, we were lucky to be around a bunch of them in those days. It's just an interesting discussion, Mike. And to me, it's like when you look at conduct at the point of confrontation, where non-leaders shrink and leaders like. I quoted General Zinni. He talks about when he went to Vietnam as a company commander, and he somebody showed him a picture of scalps. He said he grabbed that picture, he ripped it up, he got the company together, and he said, "Hey, look at this shit. This will not happen again, right? And if I find out anybody's doing it, you are done. All right. I will court martial. He said, you know what I sensed was this great relief in the company that this wasn't going to happen anymore.
Right.
He said it wasn't like they were pissed. It's like they were relieved. So it's just interesting. And a guy like, you know, and Zinni is, you know, he's, you know, I joke about him being the burning bush, but I mean, guys like him are the real deal. I mean, they just don't talk about it with you. They'll tell you how they did it, whether they were advisors or however they practice it. They were it. They were the real deal, the whole nine yards, and they were not afraid of a confrontation in their career with anybody. Like, what did you say? Come here, let's go. You want to go right now? You know, and so I just when you look at all these different instances of these marquee leadership failures, every one of them happens with people who are standing around, who are billed as leaders in the Marine Corps, who stand there with their hands in their pockets, or maybe raise it while it's, you know, in that comfort zone. And then when they get told, hey, shut up, right? Get out of here if you don't like it. They shut up and they leave.
Right.
Pathetic. And what they leave their comrades to is a bad decision. And in all these cases, time in the brig, careers ruined, you know, but just interesting. Just interesting. Got in my head over the weekend. So, all right. How are things in Granbury?
Great.
That's
absolutely
it?
Great.
That's it?
Yeah.
Is this great?
You got some rain coming in today. Yeah. Okay. Hopefully.
How, talk to me about humidity.
There is none right now. I mean, people would say that it is.
But you don't think so?
No.
What would you like it?
Remember.
Yeah. What
relative.
Would you,
yeah. It's all relative, man.
I don't know. Okay. So.
I've been in some humid places.
Most humid place you've ever been is.
Probably like Kuwait. Yeah. You know. Well. Yeah. I mean, Kuwait had that different humidity where actually you could, when you're walking, you feel it. It's like walking through freaking Jell-O. Stinky Jell-O. But
it's also the hottest place on the planet too.
It's just thick, and then it's got that salty sea smell to it all the time. Oh, I just hated it. I mean, there were, you know, like the Philippines or anyone, Indonesia, the islands. You know, it's humid out there, but there's something about Kuwait. This that humidity just
like you said. I had a buddy, Kurt Griner, come back from Kuwait, and his boots were streaked with white stuff, and I thought he had kicked chalk or somehow got chalk on him. I said, what's that? He said, that's salt. I said, from Kuwait. Now, mind you, Iraq was hot. You know, you get to between 121 and 135, depending. Kuwait on a different Richter scale, 130 to 140. And you, when you see him, you're like, that's bullshit. That's not really true.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
No, it is, man.
It was. It was absolutely brutal. All right. All right, man. First of all, good to hear your voice again. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Yeah. Sounds good, man. Talk to you later.
There you have it. The Gunner, Michael Musselman. If you don't step into that, guess what? You're not a leader. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. This hour brought to you by our friends at the Marine Corps Mustang Association. So all you Mustangs out there, pay attention. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They're a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps Reserve enlisted ranks. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks and owes its origin to the wild horse of the American plains and was a distortion of the Spanish term Mustango. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In its 33rd year of existence, The Marine Corps Mustang Association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join them, and I'm talking to you. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org, and like them on Facebook. Most importantly, join the organization, Marine Corps Mustang. Awesome guys. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Tuesday right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good. Past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit CareerOneStop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, that'll do it on a Tuesday. My thanks to the Senate Armed Service Committee for recording their hearing. They do another one that I'd love to listen to, and it's about small arms. Yeah, I'd be curious what goes on in that thing. And then tee it up for the gunner. My thanks to Mike Musselman for coming on. Interesting little point. If you're not a leader, you can give all the classes you want, and it's not going to change anything. So leadership at the point of confrontation. So tomorrow we'll listen to that second half. I'm trying to put the little soft kind of leadership thing for the third hour, and we'll see if we can do a Marine Corps Gazette article in the first hour. So we'll work on that. Have a great afternoon on a Tuesday, All Marine Radio. Thanks for listening. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. Help make us famous. We're doing good stuff. It's awesome. Awesome. Have a great one on a Tuesday. Out.